Hello, my friends. Welcome back to the Hello Tomorrow podcast, where we create clarity from chaos by wielding optimism like a battle strategy. Now, we can do this because optimism, remember, is not blind hope. It's the thing that allows us to keep fighting for a future that's better. Today, I want to share with you one of the most important things I learned from being a CEO. I always wanted to be a CEO. Well, when I was a kid, I probably would have said president, but that's because I had no idea what a CEO was. For me, the idea was the same. I wanted to be the guy in charge. Now, this feels a little scary to admit because I know the adage, don't give people power who want it, but it's the truth. For whatever reason, there's something about the challenge of leadership that really attracts me. Not for the power, but for the influence and the impact. Those things matter to me a lot. Now, actually, as a kid, my ideal grown-up profession was probably one of two things, president/CEO or architect. Throughout most of my childhood, my dad's job was building houses. We lived in a super small town, like 1,300 people small, in the middle of geographical nowhere out on the sprawling grassy plains of South Dakota. My dad is brilliant at architectural drawings, and I would watch him work for hours at his angled mint green drafting table with rulers and triangles, getting the lines precise and sharp. In my mind, the jobs of a CEO and that of an architect actually have a lot in common. I don't know if a lot of people think of it this way, but for me, if we boil it down, at their core, both jobs are about creating environments where people thrive. And I always wanted to try it. So after starting my entrepreneurial journey in 2010, 5 years later in 2015, my CEO wish came true for the first time, almost. I had just merged my consulting practice with my friend Mike's practice, and we agreed to co-CEO the new entity. Now, when this officially happened, I went from a solopreneur, you know, just me, wearing all the hats of my business, to co-CEO of a small team overnight. And it was kind of jarring for a lot of reasons. But the most striking thing I remember is just how much time I had to now spend on getting input and building consensus. This is not something a solo owner ever has to do because there's no one else to involve. That adjustment took me some time to wrap my head and my calendar around. But I think the trickiest part for me was that Mike and I agreed to own and lead things 50-50. This arrangement meant I wasn't ever really the one calling the shots. It was a bit operationally risky, we knew, but we believed we could do it kindly and fairly, and we did. Parting ways amicably 3 years later, with each of us taking a half of the business, which by then had grown into two companies, so it worked out pretty well. So at that time, it was 2018. All right, I was almost a decade into my entrepreneurial adventure, and I was finally the CEO. My business partner, Anissa, and I agreed to bring on two more partners for the new venture, and I got to work, crafting the brand and culture that I could finally build. I'd gotten a taste of this, of course, over the past 3 years, but now all the decisions ultimately came back to me, just as I'd always wanted. We grew that service-based company for a few years and then pivoted it into the tech company that became LoveWork. I learned many, many things in that seven-year season. Someday I will write the full book about that time. But one of the biggest lessons I learned as a CEO is that when it comes to designing process and policies for your organization, it's good to start with one assumption. The typical path is almost always the worst path. Why? Well, because the vast majority of our organizational systems are descendants of one guy, Frederick Winslow Taylor, who in 1911 essentially based his entire organizational and management theory on two fundamental assumptions. One, most people are dumb. And two, most people are lazy. Follow that path for over a century. See where it gets you. Oh, wait, that's where we are. Now, the outcome of this belief system is a dominant workplace operating system that is overwhelmingly top-down, laden with fiat power for a small few, and mostly blind obedience for everyone else. It's full of processes and procedures that are designed to check the dumbness and laziness of the people who work there. Important note, it doesn't matter if you don't believe people are dumb and lazy. The system believes it, and the system always wins. And what I discovered over and over as CEO was that almost every default path in the way organizations ran was difficult at best and utterly inhumane at worst. Now, if this sounds extreme, I don't think it is. Why? Because my litmus test for a good organization is one simple belief. Work should energize you. Four words. Work should energize you. Not one part of work. Not that fun task you get to do once a week. Not that great conference you get to go to once a year. More. Way more. As in, as much as humanly possible. Now, will you ever get to 100%? I don't know, but at multiple times in my career, I've been pretty darn close for pretty long stretches of time. So I know this is possible, but I learned one of the biggest obstacles to this being possible for everyone is the default operating system of work. As CEO, at every turn, I needed to help lead the team to do something in the business, right? We needed to hire a new person. We needed a new communication platform. We needed to explore health insurance. We needed to recruit developers. We needed an international payroll system. We needed to assess performance, on and on, all the stuff that you do at work. Not to mention, we also needed to have meetings with each other and actually build a product people wanted to buy from us and then serve those customers well and continually test and refine that product. You know this stuff. It's the stuff we all do at work all day long. But what I found time and time again is that when I reached out into the universe of business for a tried and true process that I could plug and play to do these above tasks, I couldn't use it. Why? Because it invariably sucked. Now, I mean this quite literally, as I usually do. Almost every single plug-and-play process out there sucks the freaking life out of people because it's built on a faulty operating system that's actually designed to suck because it treats you as dumb and lazy. Now, this meant I spent an insane amount of time trying to research and think and craft a new way to do almost everything, to create some pathway for my people that would be energizing for these humans instead of draining the life out of them. Now think about it. In your organization, can you say your hiring process is life-giving? Can you say your expense report process is simple and effortless? Can you say your meetings are energizing? Can you say your payroll system is beautiful? Can you say everyone loves your HR information system? Those thoughts might feel crazy, but should it be crazy for the things you spend the majority of your life doing to be more energizing than draining? Personally, I think it's crazy to put up with it the way it is. This means when it comes time for your organization to think about all these things, how you hire new people, vacation policies, compensation methods, flexible work policies, your office locations, the way you run meetings, how you organize your teams, how you allocate your work projects, and just about everything else in your organization, take a good hard look at the way you've seen it done. Because chances are, it's not even close to the best way to do it. And it just might be the worst. So, today's optimistic perspective is to adopt this belief system. Work should energize you. Four words. Work should energize you. And if your systems at work are not energizing, do whatever you can in your sphere of influence to change this. Right? Depending on your level in the hierarchy, you will have a different amount of power and authority to make these changes about these systems wherever you are at. Use the authority and influence that you can to make your system such that they energize people instead of drain people. And if we all do what we can, our work systems will be a little bit better tomorrow. Thanks for listening. See you next week.